This is Value Investing. I'm your host, Jun Kim. In this podcast, you'll learn everything related to value investing. Welcome to episode 3 of Value Investing. I'm so excited to be back. So in the last two episodes, I discussed Warren Buffett's first investment partnership in terms of its fee structure, main three investment strategies Warren Buffett used for his investment vehicle, and his performance against the Dow. And finally, we discussed a deep dive case study on two largest stocks that Warren Buffett owned at that time that accounted for a significant portion of his portfolio. So if you haven't listened to those podcast episodes, then you can always go back and you can find the link wherever you listen to this podcast and you can listen to them later. In this podcast, I'm going to continue to discuss Warren Buffett's investment partnership. So let me tell you four things in this podcast. First, I'm going to do deep dive case study on a company called Dempster Mill Manufacturing. This company, again, Warren Buffett invests a significant portion of his investment partnership money. And I'd like to know how and why, how he invested in the first place and why he invested, more importantly. And second, I want to go into the details about how Warren Buffett defined conservative investment. This is going to be a very interesting subject because it's contrary to what a lot of people believe in conservative investing. And third, I'm going to talk about his fund size and how growing fund size is going to have an impact on his investment performance. And lastly, I'm going to go into the section where Warren Buffett talks about his investment partnership performance prediction and how it's going to do during bear market and bull markets. I'm so excited to start this podcast, and let's get started. First topic of this podcast is about a company called Dempster Mill Manufacturing Company. So what is so special about this company? Warren Buffett invested a significant portion of his investment fund during 1961 in this one company. So this company accounted for 21% of total investment partnership asset. Definitely there is a reason why Warren Buffett invested in this company. So that's what we are trying to find out by reading his investment letter. This company was selling farm tools and water systems, and its sales figure was about $9 million. This company was producing low return on invested capital. The reason why it was low return on invested capital was due to poor management and tough industry situation. One thing to note is that if you have followed Warren Buffett nowadays, he usually buys a business with a great business model and with great management team. But if you look at this company's management team has been operating in a poor position in the industry, and Warren Buffett now would never buy companies like this. But back then, as in the case that we discussed in the last episode, Warren Buffett was willing to pay and invest his money if the price is right. As long as the price is significantly below intrinsic value, Warren Buffett was willing to buy and accumulate significant stake for the investment. Typical Bankman approach. Let me give you a little bit more stats here. So book value of this company at that time was $75 per share. And working capital per year was about $50 per share. So guess how much Warren Buffett paid for this company? Warren Buffett paid on average $28 per share. That's like 56% of working capital. That's significantly below its intrinsic value. So Warren Buffett didn't really look forward in the future and thinking how much money this company is going to make in the near future, 5 years, 10 years down the road. But what he looked at is the book value, which is the money that have been invested so far by investor. And that was $75. So investors invested a lot of monies in this company, and the company was selling around at $28. That's when Warren Buffett came in and accumulated a lot of shares. There is a reason for that, because the company was suffering from competition in the industry and was facing a lot of tough environment. And also at the same time, it was returning a low return on invested capital. This is also interesting case because Warren Buffett pointed out in the letter that he initially purchased the shares of this company thinking that this is an undervalued company. And so, as I mentioned in the last letter, Warren Buffett had three different strategies. One strategy is called general issues, where Warren Buffett go into the market and buy severely undervalued securities. And second strategy was workouts, so which shows that Warren Buffett buys companies that experience some sort of corporate events, restructuring, acquisitions, mergers, and so on and so forth. And last strategy is control situation, where Warren Buffett accumulates significant portion of company's shares and influence management to change their strategic direction. So it's interesting case here for this company, because Warren Buffett first came in thinking that this is going to be general issues, but later it turned into control situation where he was able to secure 70% of company's ownership. Also, one thing that I noticed in this company is the fact that no market existed for this company. So Warren Buffett owned 70% of this entire portfolio, and only this company had 150 stockholders at the time. So even though this company was a public company, there was so little liquidity, so it's almost private company for Warren Buffett's investment partnership. And also, it's interesting to note that Warren Buffett accumulated this company over the course of 5 years. He didn't really come in as a short-term trader. He invested his money over time, and it became control situation. This company is also a good example of what Warren Buffett calls Cigabot stock. What is Cigabot stock? It's a stock that's out there just like Cigabot on the street. And it's disgusting, but there is a one puff left. And you pick it up and take that one puff and throw it away. And what it means, even though the business model itself is not good, if the stock price is selling so cheap, then you can take the value out of even lousy business and you can make money. This is a typical Ben Graham approach and also Cigabot approach. Warren Buffett came in as an investor and accumulated a lot of shares because there was some value left in this company, but there is no repeating income that could be generated in the future. But if you buy a company below working capital amount, then there's no way that you can lose money, because even if you liquidate the business right away after you buying the business, you're not going to lose money. You're going to have some money left for your pocket. Okay, now why don't we shift gears and move on to the next topic. So this next topic is going to be about how Warren Buffett defines conservative portfolio. There are two typical examples of what conservative portfolio means to a lot of people. First example shows that many people believe that if you buy long-term government bond or municipal bonds, then you're in a good shape because they're not going to go bankrupt. In this case, you will decrease your credit risk for the long term, but you're exposed to interest rate risk. What I mean by that is you're not going to see the bankruptcy often from the government bonds or municipal bonds. But when interest rate goes up and down, especially if interest rate goes up, your bond price goes down. So you're exposed to interest rate risk. And second, also, people think that if they buy blue chip stocks for long term, then they're going to be in good shape. It doesn't matter how much price they pay. They just keep buying these blue chip stocks, then they're going to be fine. But I think it matters if you don't care about the price you're paying. Then if you just come in and buy the stocks at higher price compared to its intrinsic value, then your long-term return is going to suffer. So what Warren Buffett is trying to do in the letter is that he said that truly conservative portfolio should be composed of value stocks. The example that he gave out in the letter was this dumpster mill manufacturing company we just discussed. It shows how conservative he managed his portfolio back then. So he purchased this stock below working capital value, which shows the fact that he's only willing to invest in a very, very severely undervalued company. So from his mind, he's not thinking about the market volatility. He's not thinking about a market beta, but he was thinking about from the perspective of business. He was thinking that this business was selling so cheap, there's no way that he can lose money. So that's how he conservatively managed his portfolio. But ironically, because of this conservative approach, he was able to produce significant return for its investors. Regarding the topic about conservatism, I want to end this topic with Warren Buffett's exact quote. I found this quote to be very useful. He said in the letter, "You'll be right over the course of many transactions if your hypotheses are correct, your facts are correct, and your reasoning is correct. True conservatism is only possible through knowledge and reason." Warren Buffett mentioned this quote because he thinks that a lot of people can be misled by short-term market volatility and price movement, and they're thinking that they are in a conservative position or portfolio. But true conservatism can be only possible through knowledge and reason. It sounds very straightforward and intuitive, but a lot of people overlook this simple, great advice. And he also mentioned that if you want to test your portfolio, how conservative it is, it can be tested through down markets. He thinks that if you have bull markets, every stock goes up and there's a lot of hype in the stock market, and usually there's a lot of speculation. But during the down markets, if you constructed your portfolio in a conservative way, then your stock is not going to go down as much as other stocks. So that's the test you can perform, whether you truly have conservative portfolio. So that's, I think, enough about this topic. So let's move on to the next one. So the next one is about the portfolio size and how a growing portfolio size is going to have an impact on investment portfolio. He thinks that he mentioned in this letter that the fund size was growing at that time, and he thinks that it's going to affect his performance overall. And I think he has mentioned multiple times in his letter, not just this investment partnership letter, but for Berkshire Hathaway annual letter, that his performance is going to be negatively impacted by his large portfolio size. But what's interesting in this investment letter is that if you have larger sums of money, then it's going to hurt certain strategies. So I mentioned about three strategies, right? General issues, workouts, and control situations. He said that it's going to hurt the first two strategies, but the last one, control situation, he's going to have a better advantages over his competitors in terms of producing better return. So I think this is a key point, because later, when he first started his investment partnership, he invested a significant portion of his money, 70% to 80% of his money, in the open stock market. But later, as he gets more and more money and capital, he transitioned from this general issue to control situation, because he knew his advantages and disadvantages over other investors. And he knew that if he has larger sums of money, it's better for him to buy the firms outright or get into a control situation where he can have more than 50% of ownership. Finally, we are on to the last topic. So this topic is about how Warren Buffett sees his investment performance. And there are 2 points that I want to make here. First point is that he always sees his investment partner's performance relative to Dow, the market. Because he thinks that in a given year, when he experiences 15% down, and if market is experiencing 25% down, then he thinks that this is a really extraordinary performance and very positive performance for his investors. Because even though his portfolio overall, percentage-wise, is down in absolute terms, in a relative terms compared to Dow, it went up by 10%. And he thinks that this situation is a lot better from his perspective than the situation where his investment partner's performance goes up by 20% and the Dow goes up by 20%. A lot of investors probably would get lost at this point because they think that their performance should be always positive and that's what people like, but that's not how Warren Buffett sees his investment performance. And it makes sense. If you're a rational person, then you would know that you can always get into the market these days buying into the index fund and you can always gain the market performance. But the reason why you go to hedge fund managers or private equity is because you want to have some alpha. The second point that I want to make here is that he mentioned in his letter that he's going to be satisfied with the performance if his investment partnership performs 10% better than the market. I'm quite shocked by this statement because if you look at these days hedge fund industry or private equities, it's really hard to beat the market. But he mentioned officially in the letter that the satisfactory result would be 10% above the market. So 10% every year above the market, he didn't literally mention every year, but he said that 10% would be the satisfactory result for him. It's not even extraordinary result, it's satisfactory result for him. So he was confident that he would be able to make 10% above the market, and which he did, by the way, if you look back in the history, that's what he did for his investors. So it's just quite fascinating to see someone can claim this kind of things. So I assume that Warren Buffett was quite confident at the time when he made this statement. That's it for this podcast. I think we discussed about 4 things. One case study about a company called Dempster Mill Manufacturing and how Warren Buffett defined his conservative investment portfolio, fund size, and finally we talked about his investment performance for his partnership fund. So I hope you gain a lot of knowledge from this podcast. I'm going to continue to talk about Warren Buffett in the subsequent episodes. And what I'm trying to do here is to add a lot of value to go into the deep dive into the case studies for the companies that he purchased and so on and so forth. So I hope you really enjoy this podcast. Please leave your comments wherever you listen to your podcast and subscribe to this channel so that you don't miss out great episodes in the future. Thank you very much and see you next time.